It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Well, we've got the Democrat convention, and all I could think about was, Mama, get the hammer. There's a fly on Papa's head. The clown show began this week, and I'm curious, have you watched it? It's okay if you want to admit it. I've tried to watch it, but I honestly couldn't keep doing it. I would flip on it, and it reminded me of, you know, rubbernecking during the traffic accident, but a bad traffic accident. It's only fitting the Democrats have a convention like this. It's got no audience, the first of its kind, at least in my lifetime. I don't believe there's been anything like this. It's got no energy. My question was, did Jeb Bush plan this event for him? In case you're wondering whose voice it is, it's Kevin Jackson, Fox News contributor, former Fox News contributor, I should say, sitting in for the lovely Sandy Rios, and I appreciate you guys for being here. Oh my gosh, it's been fun to watch. It's politics today is fun in general. I mean, just looking at the craziness, the level of crazy that's occurred. Why? Because you revolted. You did something so dramatically different in 2016 by electing a guy who has no bias, no political dog in the fight, so to speak. Donald Trump. How dare you, America? And so now we've got this event. I don't know if you've seen it. I definitely want people to let me know when we start taking a few calls. The phone number for that, by the way, is 888-589-8840. But this event's going over like a pregnant pole vaulter. I'm looking at this, wondering if the Democrats are, you know, they call it auditing when you go back later and look at something. I wonder when they audit this, the day after, are they looking at this the way we're seeing it? Where's the hoopla? Where's the beef? How do you hold a convention when you have nothing relevant to say, when you are so antithetical to the heart and soul of this country, to the heart and soul of the very people that listen to a program like this? Conservatives, Christians, which I believe when you say conservative, it automatically has the feeling of a Christian. It has that's part of the definition of being a conservative is having a moral and ethical core. And I listen to these Democrats, I listen to the things that they say, and I say to myself, and I'm pretty sure you do as well, do you really believe that? Look at what's happening in this country, everywhere Democrats are in control, and ask yourself, do you think people want to live under this? Do you? Look, I wouldn't live in Portland. I wouldn't live in Seattle. I'm a country boy. I grew up on a 25,000 acre cattle ranch. I don't want to see my neighbors, okay? But I tell you what, when we do get together, I want to enjoy them. I don't want to look at spray paint on buildings and wonder if whatever the latest little trendy thing that I didn't get the memo on is going to get me a butt whooping when I get out of my car. The guy gets killed just trying to drive down the street. Oh my gosh, it's an insane world. I was listening to the commercial leading up to the broadcast, and Franklin Graham is saying, we got to have God. He's right. He's right. What is it that has destroyed the moral core of leftists to where they can't even see the error of their ways? Now, I get asked this a lot as a Black conservative. They're like, so Kevin, what is it with Black people? I say, what is it with people? It's no longer a Black question, okay? A lot of these leftists, many of these so-called woke white people, I got to ask you guys, what has gotten into your folks? Oh my gosh. We are finding out how you sell nothing watching this convention. If you can watch it again, I'm happy for you, but we are finding out what it takes to have no message and still try to bring something to somebody. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when you're not prepared for a test and you go in to take the test and you look at the document in front of you and you're like, uh-oh, I should have studied harder. Oh my goodness, it's painful. Or have you ever been asked to give an impromptu speech and you're, you know, it's not something you do for a living. I can give an impromptu speech on a paperclip, but I'm saying the average person, I think what they say, public speaking is like worse than a death or divorce, or it's up there, right? It's one of the worst things you could do. This Democrat convention reminds me of somebody who doesn't want to give a speech, but they ding, 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 ding. Hey, Ted, stand up and give us a speech, you know? Oh my goodness. Painful, painful. And it's so wrong. It's like an 80-year-old with a belly button ring. Get rid of it. Come on. You're past your prime. The expiration date for that's long overdue. Oh, for those of you who might have just joined the program, it's Kevin Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios. I'm going to tell you, I, never having been a Democrat, I don't know how to get into that mindset. But I will tell you, I'm embarrassed for the Democrats with this convention. I'm embarrassed that they even... I'm sad they have to pick a candidate to run against Donald Trump. I really am. And think about it. Their candidate is so old and feeble, they're worried he's going to get Wu flu and die. But Biden looks like he's a human version of Punxsutawney Phil poking his head out to see how long winter's going to be. Well, it's going to be a long winter, Joe. And that's the least of his worries, because what this convention proves, in my opinion, is it proves that people don't care what the Democrats have to say. They are throwing everything in the kitchen sink at trying to depose a person who is really interested in what America, what serves America best. And look, I'm not a Trump homer. I'm not one of these guys that was dyed in the wool. I was not an early adopter of President Trump. He wasn't my first choice. I said long ago, if whoever gets it, including Lindsey Graham or whomever, I would support. I didn't think it would be him. And I bet many of you feel the same way. But you got to, you know, once he got in and he started performing, you had to start saying to yourself, you know what, he's doing pretty good. I was looking at the stock market. So the stock market was around 29,000 when this whole Wu flu thing hit. The S&P surpassed itself. It's already back. Most of the other market indices are almost back to where they were. Trump has had to rebuild Obama's economy. And then the second time, the one that the Democrats have tried to tear all of us down. They haven't cared about your job. But anyway, he's rebuilt it twice, and they want to put a man into office who sadly is suffering from a brain disorder. And it would be different if you could say, well, Kevin, you're joking about this, right? You're it's a little hyperbole because you're on the other side. No, Joe Biden has had two brain surgeries and he is clearly diminished, and they dislike you. Forget Trump. It's not about Donald Trump. This is about you. It is a metaphor for America. They dislike you so much that they would elect him. They would put a guy in, that, as they say, who's got control of the button, who's diminished. How sad is that? Oh, my goodness. No wonder so many Democrats are walking away from that party. It reminds me of the country song, "How Can I Miss You If You Just Won't Leave?" And you look at Trump's America and you ask yourself, why would we change this? And if you guys want, I'm happy to go into all the things that Donald Trump has done well. I'll tell you this, these executive orders took the wind out of the sails of the Democrats before they even got to the convention. I was listening to Bernie Sanders, who can take your money faster than a room full of lawyers, and he was giving all the reasons why they needed to vote for Biden. And it might as well have been a commercial for Trump. We've got to extend unemployment because people are suffering and in jobs. And I'm sitting there going, Bernie, you do know that Trump's executive orders covered all of that you just said. And it's funny because we say, and I think we still believe this, of course, as conservatives, that this is the most important election of our time. We've said it probably for the last four or five elections. I completely agree that this is the most important election. They all seem to have real relevance when you start talking about the Supreme Court and, you know, Justice Bader Ginsburg and, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and others that might, have to go at this point because you have some 80-year-old justices in there. They all seem very important, but I'd agree this is the most important. But I'm going to tell you, I have a firm belief in God, and I think God has been, in 2016, said, America, you've had enough, and he gave us an answer. And I feel pretty confident in our position. What say you? If you want to give me a call, it's 888-589-8840. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't give me a call, I'm just going to talk through it. It's easy to do. So Bernie Sanders gives his part of the talk, and he's begging supporters to vote for him, begging them. I mean, he came up there. He says, this is the most important election of our time. And he was emphatic. Please, Bernie voters, please do not keep supporting me.
Of life translates into every language. When an expectant mom in crisis hears her baby's heartbeat on ultrasound and sees her baby in the womb, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free heartbeats for moms in crisis in the USA. And they're the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. When a mother chooses life, preborn centers are there to help with the baby's needs, counseling, and so much more. And those services are provided free of charge. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say the keyword baby.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determined that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. There was a cloud of despair and hopelessness over the opening night of the Democratic National Convention. Former First Lady Michelle Obama suggested that should President Trump be reelected, the nation could face some sort of great calamity.
So if you take one thing from my words tonight, it is this. If you think things cannot possibly get worse, trust me, they can and they will if we don't make a change in this election. We have got to vote for Joe Biden like our lives depend on it.
The truth is that President Trump put more African Americans back into the workforce than any other president in modern history. He delivered on promises he made about school choice and supporting historically black colleges and universities. And that's why so many black voters have turned their backs on Democrats and embraced Donald Trump. Be sure to check out my national show, noon to 3 Eastern, or download my free podcast at toddstearns.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I will tell you that is not AFA's issue. That is an issue on my end. I want to give credit where credit is due. These guys do a fine job, and we're working things out on my side of the equation. Anyway, welcome back. Kevin Jackson, I'm sitting in for Sandy Rios. I want to make a quick shout out. I have a movie out called Bleeding Blue. You can go to bleedingbluemovie.com. It's about policing in America. Kevin Sorbo and I partnered to do this film, spectacular film. It is meant to bridge the gap between police and the black community, but it tells a story about policing, I swear you've never seen, you've never heard about some of the things that we talk about, like the hidden details behind Ferguson and things like this. And you'll watch it and you'll see exactly, it's almost prophetic in what we were, when we did the film back in 2018, the latter part of 2018, and what's happening today. So if you get a chance, check it out. I'll even make you a deal. If you don't like this film, I'll give you your money back. BleedingBlueMovie.com. Talking about the Democrat convention, the support for Joe Biden, he is so supported that he got 59% of the vote uncontested in Kentucky. He got 67.2% of the vote uncontested in New York. And the Bernie vote is solidly 17 to 19% anywhere you go in this country. That's why Bernie Sanders was begging his people, will you please, please vote for Joe Biden, please. And then, of course, AOC came along and put Pete in the punch bowl by saying, no, I fully support Bernie Sanders. So this is the problem that the Democrats have. They are disjointed. They want us to believe that we are so, you know, that the conservatives are all over the map. Let me tell you, we have a single thing that unites us. We always talk about what unites us. And you know what unites Democrats? Their hatred of us. Do you know what unites us? Our love for each other. Now, you tell me. Does love conquer hate? Of course it does. It wins every single time. Anyway, we're going to take a few callers because we'll run out of time if we don't. Kayla from Mississippi, how are you? Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here, Kayla.
Okay. Am I on the air?
You are.
Okay. I didn't realize that. I think that the Democrats actually knew what they were doing when they elected Joe Biden, and they realized that he has cognitive inabilities. I thought from the beginning, once he got chosen as their primary candidate, that the vice president, his running mate, is the one that they really wanted in office. I think they realized back in 2016 that they couldn't play the feminism card and win the election. So they try to indirectly win the White House for the vice president pick because I think they realize Joe Biden is not all there and he cannot run a country.
Let me ask you this. So you think they picked Kamala Harris because of she's a woman and maybe even because she's a black woman, even though you didn't say that, but some people do. Kamala Harris came in, what, seventh or eighth in the primary. So what would make you think that they would pick her? I mean, if you're going to pick a woman, wouldn't you pick Elizabeth Warren, who finished way ahead of Kamala Harris, if you're going to play the feminist card? And then the second part of my question to you is Kamala Harris a really good choice, given that I don't think a lot of women like Kamala Harris? And I'm not even just talking about conservative women. I think a lot of women see her as a stair stepper, somebody who will do anything to get elected. What do you think?
Well, I think Kamala Harris has been described by the Democrats themselves as a moderate. We all know that that's not the case. but I think that they think by choosing her that maybe they may win some of our votes because they see her as a moderate candidate, and it might pull some votes away from Trump.
I agree with the moderate comment, but I still go back to she's already proven herself not to be very likable. And I mean, she finished seventh or eighth out of 20 candidates. I mean, that's practically in the middle. You know, if they were going to choose a woman, Pete Buttigieg was a great choice. No, I'm kidding, but there were lots of people ahead of her.
Right.
But hey, maybe you're right. The other thing I can tell you about, thanks for the call, by the way, Kayla. The other thing I can tell you about Kamala Harris is she's not going to bring the black vote. Black people do not like Kamala Harris. A full 31% of blacks in a poll by Rasmussen said they will not vote for Biden because he picked Kamala Harris. That's probably a bit of a shocker to most people. Kevin Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios. And we're going to, again, I want to just explain a few of these things to you and see if any of this makes sense, because this convention is supposed to be an energizer for the ticket, for the party itself. And Kamala Harris was supposed to energize the ticket. And they told us that $24 million came in after the announcement. Now, when Sarah Palin was announced back in 2008 as John McCain's running mate, they made $7 million in a 24-hour period. I don't believe that there's $24 million that flowed into the Democratic Party because of Kamala Harris. I believe that there were people waiting. They said, let's put all the money together, and whoever Joe Biden selects, we're going to act as if this person is really excited, you know, going to bring some excitement to the ticket. Maybe if he'd chosen Tulsi Gabbard, I would have said, yeah, now that's a surprise. But Kamala Harris is an absolute head scratcher for me. Let's bring Joshua from Texas in. Hey, Joshua.
Hey, how are you, Kevin?
Good.
Hey, yeah. No, I totally agree with the last caller on a lot of points, and I'm glad to hear it from someone else too. But I just kind of listened to the program. You know, what about Tulsi Gabbard? I mean, that would have been something that went against their agenda. So, you know, why not? Why couldn't she be on the platform?
Well, she makes more sense. She's young. She's a Pacific Islander. She's a veteran. She is probably much more moderate than Harris.
All these, you know, more patriotic points that Americans actually stand for. But she didn't fit the narrative. So let's attack her. Let's make accusations about her. Oh, man.
Yeah, I find it very strange that they would have.
Insane.
Say that again. I didn't hear the last part. Sorry.
I just said these nitwits just drive me absolutely insane. I mean,
they're just getting started.
And just people I grew up with, I have no idea who they are anymore. I see these things on Facebook. I post things and share things to Facebook. I don't even get on because it drives me bonkers. I see which way the culture is kind of shifted and trying to be being forced to shift and. I don't know, man. I really think that
let me
be more vigilant and bold.
I agree. Well, thanks for the call, Joshua. So I can sense Joshua's angst here, because conservative Americans, and particularly Christians, we're under fire, and we have been trained. You know, we go by biblical principle and we say, let's turn the other cheek. We also believe that right conquers might, and that, love conquers hate. And right will conquer wrong, and all these other euphemisms and little fun little metaphors that we use to sort of provide the backdrop of why we do not want to engage. And I'm going to tell you something. Think crusades, because you are in a battle that's probably unprecedented in history. And we think of fighting brother against brother during the time of the Civil War. You are in the midst of a civil war that is much larger than anything you've ever imagined. And it's so contradictory to common sense, which is not as common anymore, that you're struggling. You're going, how can my friends not see my way? And the reason they don't see your way is because you don't want to engage on Facebook. You don't want to engage on other forms of social media. You don't want to push back when they say something against you. I'll give you examples. I'll hear people out in public and they openly will talk negatively about Donald Trump. And I know there are Trump supporters, especially where I live. It's probably 65-70% support of Trump. And nobody says a word except, guess who? Yours truly. And I will contradict. And the reason I do this is because I want the world to understand that you can't just go out there and say, Donald Trump is a racist, and nobody challenge you. Because I'll challenge you. I'll challenge you on his economic policy. I'll challenge you on his race policy. I'll challenge you on his women policy. Donald Trump just posthumously pardoned Susan B. Anthony. You want to talk about a boss move? He made it. So, you know, we've got to challenge and go back and push back. And you think of it as fighting. Well, let me ask you, if somebody breaks into your house and they're threatening you with a knife or some other object, do you just go, hey, listen, it's not a problem. I tell you what, why don't you just take the house? You know, if they're threatening your child, your grandchild, do you just go, you know what, it's no problem. Go ahead and slap my grandchild. Or what? No, you don't. You fight back. Well, guess what? That's the metaphor that I just gave to you. The scenario that I just gave you is truly metaphorically what is happening to America. Let's bring Monty from Virginia in if we have time.
Kevin, can you hear me okay?
I can, yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you for filling some big shoes today. You're a blessed man to take Sandy's place. Thank you for doing that.
My pleasure.
And also, I just wanted to mention that I've been a school teacher and a coach. People would know me here in Culpeper quite well. You know, I'm 72 now. And just to say this real quickly, when you take 60 plus years of taking Bible, prayer, Jesus, and God out of the school, and you let the evilness of taking these cities and destroying the beauty of them and the gracefulness of how they were built with taxpaying dollars, and you eliminate the vote by confusing people and trying to have mail-in votes and the illegality of having people vote that not even citizens and not even a person sometimes, and they don't vote issues in conscience. They are misled and misfed by the evils of politics. And, you know, politics are wonderful when they speak issues in truth. And praise Jesus for Donald Trump. And thank you, Kevin, for being part of the show.
Well, I appreciate that, Monty. I want to thank Sandy for allowing me to sit in for her, because that's obviously her trust and faith in me with her audience and people like yourself. So you touched on some things. We talk about the Bible, and we always come back to this idea that America needs Christianity. We know, you know, or needs some religious backbone, if you will. And we all, for the most part, agree with that. But again, I go back to implementation. One of the things that you didn't mention was family. And I'll touch on Black Lives Matter for a second, who, by the way, is anti-family. It's a racist group that is a terror. It's a domestic terror organization who does not like family, which is an ironic thing for Blacks who, like myself, you know, grew up without a father. 72% of the time, we don't have both parents in the household, and they don't want to have family. But it even goes farther back than that. And here's the magic term. Think about this. I want everybody to write this down. What we lack in America is self-esteem. If you really look at, if you talk to leftists and you ask them, if you don't even have to ask them a question. If you just have a conversation with them, let me tell you what you will detect right away. They have no self-esteem. They have no self-value. The reason why they don't have any self-value is because they don't understand God, and that God made them an individual, not some part of a collective. And I'll give you a quick example. They love putting people into groups. They call it intersectionality. It's how female are you? How LGBTQ are you? How gender or how black or white or, you know, ethnicity are you? How religious are you? And how they have all these buckets. And then they say, well, you know, you can understand the world better if you are a black woman who is short and bald, right? And so the more intersectionality, which is just a term for the more ways we can make a victim out of you, the more woke you are, the better you are at understanding society at a level where you appreciate nothing. Everything for you is bad about America. It's bad about your life. It's bad about men. It's bad about whatever. It's bad about capitalists. It's bad about the military. So how do you think anybody on that side can actually feel esteem? The answer is no. You could be a Victoria's Secret runway model and they will criticize your feet. They want to find something that makes you intersectionally feel like a victim. And so no matter how good your life is, they are going to make a victim out of you. So they kill your esteem. And this is what they've done to the Black community. They say, hey, Black people, you were slaves. And I know you have no experience with slavery. And you kids that are less than 40 years old, you don't even know what discrimination is. But you know what? You're still being discriminated against. All that systematic stuff is a problem for you. And so these kids are angry. Somebody, one of the earlier callers talked about it. There's an anger in this that's brewing up. And even kids that they have everything, they got technology in their hands that's better than any. I mean, Aristotle, engineers at NASA don't have a fraction of the technology these people carry in their pockets. And they're still upset. They have all the answers to the world's most profound questions at their fingertips. And they still are more stupid than ever. So you're never going to make them understand this until they feel better about themselves. That's their problem. And the only way they're going to feel better about themselves is when they finally recognize that they are insignificant unless they start paying attention to the spiritual side of themselves. Short break. We'll be back, folks. Keep it here.
It's easy to spend too much time on the news that makes us sad and maybe even angry. This tendency is even stronger when we're depressed. But we don't have to live this way. I'm Charles Morris. Join me for Haven Today all week. We're continuing in an encouraging series called Soul Care.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond these is from the evil one. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The term Latinx was invented online and in academia in the early 2000s in an effort to strip long-established Spanish words of their inherent sex specificity. I guess linguistic cultural appropriation is fine, as long as you're imposing transgender inclusivity onto the Spanish language. Well, according to a new poll, by the Los Angeles Times, only 3% of people of Latin American origin in the United States use the term Latinx. In fact, a large percentage of the native Spanish-speaking poll respondents had never heard the term. Cue my not shocked face.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. At the opening night of the Democrat National Virtual Convention, Michelle Obama said, "We Democrats must always go high when Republicans go low, because it's the only thing that works. And if we go low, we only end up degrading ourselves." Here's what else she said. "We get division, chaos, and a total lack of empathy from the White House. Kids are wondering if their parents are lying to them when they tell them what is right and wrong, because they're now watching people fighting over masks, calling police on innocent people of color. They're watching in horror as children are thrown in cages, white supremacists are carrying torches, and pepper spray and rubber bullets are used on peaceful protesters for a photo op." Well, if that's going high, it makes you wonder what going low would sound like.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The to-date unacknowledged elephant in the Democrats' virtual convention hall has been the Chinese Communist Party. To be sure, the virus the CCP unleashed on us has gotten a lot of attention, but not the perpetrator of that crime against humanity that has killed 160,000 of us so far and devastated our country. It's doubly odd because there is clearly no bigger threat to the security of the United States and therefore no more important item on the agenda of the next commander-in-chief, whoever that may be, than Chinese communism. An explanation for the nearly complete collective neglect of this present and growing danger by the Democratic Convention, though, is even more troubling than the fact that it is happening. The Chinese Communist Party is actively pulling for a Biden presidency. We need to know why that's so and what it portends. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
According to the Washington Post ABC News poll, they said that Donald Trump is, quote, closing the gap on Joe Biden. And he's, I believe, somewhere between 1 to 4 points. Now, I want you to understand a Washington Post ABC poll and how slanted that poll is towards the Democrats. And they say that essentially President Trump is in a statistical tie, which means that President Trump is probably 7-8 points ahead of Joe Biden. Welcome back. Kevin Jackson sitting in for the lovely Sandy Rios. A couple things I want to say about me. If you want to track me down, thekevinjacksonshow.com is where you can find me, and I hope you'll listen to my program. And we also have a film that's out that I promise you will absolutely blow you away. If you have any feelings at all, certainly good ones towards the law enforcement officers around the country, you'll want to see bleedingbluemovie.com, and I hope you'll go check it out. And I'll make you a deal. If you check it out and you do not like it, send me a note and we will refund your money. I know how good it is. My baby is beautiful. And it's not just me saying it. So anyway, not good news for the Democrats. You're supposed to be going into the convention with a big surge. And we're finding out that President Trump is closing the non-existent gap. So anyway, I wanted to begin with that. Let's take a couple more calls. We had some people waiting. Shirley is calling from Tennessee. Shirley, how are you?
Good morning. So blessed. Sandy is so blessed to have you on. I got to tell you, I love you. I love your show. And thank you so much for sitting in for her. I'm an African-American teacher, and I am so thankful. I have a theory as to why the Democrats may be choosing Joe Biden. It's okay. Either one out of two things. Maybe one, they may be choosing him because they're planning to cheat anyway, so they'll choose any old body. Or two, it was more sinister. Maybe, and I know it doesn't sound like what people want to hear, but maybe they know they just don't have anybody. They hadn't found their old next Obama-like candidate, so they're just going to throw the election for Trump. And but either way, I'm praying that a ton of children who like TikTok don't call your show and say they hate your movie. So I look forward to watching it, and you have a blessed day.
All right. Well, Shirley, I hope you will contact me. We run an organization called SeekingEducationalExcellence.org. It's a nonprofit that goes because we want to get empowerment back into schools, and I would love for school teachers like yourself to get involved. I know you got to do it under the radar, which is a strange thing to say, that you have to do it under the radar. So let's address what Shirley was saying there. So let me just say this. The Democrats did not want Joe Biden. That was evident from the beginning. Joe Biden, until everybody was gone, Joe Biden never polled above when he entered the race, which was roughly 40 to 41%, depending on which poll you saw. After that, he dropped every single week leading up to South Carolina. Joe Biden was he literally had one foot on the grave and another on a banana peel when he went into South Carolina. Jim Clyburn gave him a boost. He got the so-called black vote. If there's anybody out there that believes that that black people are going, oh boy, I can't wait to go cast my vote for some Joe Biden. Or if Joe Biden were to come and throw a barbecue in the park, that he would get, the only thing people would be there for is the free food, because nobody cares in the black community what Joe Biden has to say. That ship has sailed with Barack Obama, and it sunk in the middle of the ocean. All right, let's talk to Dean out of Arkansas. Hey, Dean. Hello.
Hey.
Is Dean there?
How are you doing?
Hey, Dean, good to talk to you.
I'm an old man. I have been around a long time, and I can't believe the amount of crap that is coming out of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
I really believe that the Lord has blinded them to the stupidity that they're spewing in order to wake up the conservative Christian vote and do away with the religious liberty that we're losing every day. And the amount of harassment that you have to put up with just for being a conservative.
I have to agree with you, Dean. I think that this is God's way of saying to conservatives, you guys think you're just going to give lip service to the things that, you know, that the principles that you've learned, that I've taught you, that I've given you in this great book. It's going to be more than lip service. You're going to have to get in there and you're going to have to slug it out. Now, I don't mean, you know, physically, even though there are times where I'm wondering if that might even have to occur. But I will tell you this. We are under fire in a way that I have not seen in 5+ decades. And I don't take it lying down. I fight it at every turn. When somebody talks to me, you know, you people are stupid because you believe in God. I'm like, are you out of your mind? I mean, I will defend my position in anything. And I do it with, you know, logic and reasoning. I mean, I have degrees in electrical engineering, computer science, and math. I'm a logical guy, but I'm going to make you defend your lunacy. And I'm going to point out the idiocy of your ways, because I'm telling you, the lies of the left are not going to stop. There are people out there who believe white folks, these woke white folks, these, you know, leftists that go to the cocktail parties and tell people how many black pets they have. These are the people out there who don't understand there is no stopping Black Lives Matter. They don't want conservatives' houses. They want all white people's homes. I don't know if you guys saw this report. It's in Seattle. BLM is saying, we want white people to give up their homes. Look at what happened in St. Louis when this couple, who's a Democrat couple, whose husband, the husband of this couple that held the guns, he represented black kids when they had grievances against the cops. Did it buy them anything? Did they get any kind of you know, special dispensation from Black Lives Matter and Antifa? No, they were going to come in and take these people's homes. So, if you think that they're going to cut you some slack, you're wrong. It's not going to happen. All right, let's bring in Alan from North Carolina.
How's everything going?
Good, Alan.
I want to thank you for everything that y'all do. I'm retired Army, retired out of Fort Bragg, and see a lot of this stuff that is going on with the rioting in the streets. And I think that there are a lot of the average citizens who want to get involved. And I remember seeing a picture from a couple of years ago, it's posted on Facebook, of a line of citizens, of men, husky-looking men who in Baltimore who had formed a line in front of the police. They were protecting the police from rioters. And so what I'd like to offer people is the idea of every town, you know, the men coming together who have a will to do so and forming groups called, you know, something like Minutemen 2020. And, you know, you can have, you know, two types of groups and everything in between. One is people who want to, you know, support the police against any potential rioters peacefully. And then behind them, you could have another rank of people, you know, who are armed. And that kind of comes from another picture I'd seen up in Minneapolis when they had all the rioting and everything. And there were four men who were armed there. You know, two of the white guys on the left, it looked like they had AR-15s, and then the two black guys on the right, Looked like one had a shotgun, but all of them were armed. And if you could see, they were protecting a store in the background, and it looked like the guy standing in the doorway of the store was a black guy. And, I think that a lot of people are frustrated. They want to get involved. To me, this is a way that they could do that, is that if groups were formed in every town and guys who come together and say, if rioters come to our town, we're not going to put up with it.
Well, it's already started, Alan. Thanks for the call. I don't know if you guys saw, I believe it was in Aurora, Colorado, and Antifa came to town. And the citizens essentially unceremoniously ushered them out. And if you get a chance to see the video, you'll get it. I know that Antifa went up to Sturgis. I got to give them credit. They went up to where the bikers were and held their signs. And then they were very fortunate that the men and women in blue were there, because I'm going to tell you, that would have not gone their way. I think you're right. And to that point of what I said earlier, I think that Christian conservatives And people that love this country are going to have to learn that it's not going to be just sitting in your homes. Now, to that point, Alan, I will tell you, it's people like you. It isn't somebody needs to do it. No, Alan, you can start it. You know, and as the old saying goes, if one person stands up in the middle of the park and dances, he's a clown. But if two people stand up and dance, suddenly there's a dance movement. So start it. And I promise you, somebody will follow. So I applaud these groups to get out there and do what they do, the Brandon Strackers of the world, who organize the things that we're seeing around the country, these walkaway movements. And they get 1,000 people in Beverly Hills to come out in support of police. And there have been many others. That's what we need to be cheering. And more importantly, we need to be cheering them and supporting them with our finances. Because, running an organization like I do and having people that try to, give me more than ideas, but they give me a lot more ideas than money. I say to them all the time, guys, we're replete with ideas. What we don't have is the funding to do all the things you want us to do. You want warriors out there. You got to feed them. Okay. So somebody from Oklahoma, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that name. Lori. Hey, Lori, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed listening to the people that have called in this morning and the different thoughts that they've had. So I'm going to say, when it comes to why I think they picked Kamala Harris, it's really pretty obvious. She's a woman of color, and she is a woman. And she's very, very dangerous to have that close to the White House, particularly the Oval Office, in lieu of the fact that most of us who have any common sense whatsoever or operate with any kind of logic understand that Biden is not equipped enough emotionally, mentally, or physically to do anything alone, let alone run the nation. I think.
Well, I would agree with you, Lori, except I don't believe Kamala Harris is the. I mean, Kamala Harris could not bring. If you were to tell me they wanted Biden to step aside, and there's a theory that they call it the step aside theory, that she would come in. She's young, black, mimics. I call her Obama's little sister. And Biden would step aside. She's not popular. She's not popular among Democrats because she couldn't even look. Think about it this way. Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Wayne Messam, and Deval Patrick, four blacks ran on the Democratic ticket. They didn't get 2% of the black vote among them. So where's the if she's going to bring the black vote, she couldn't even bring it in a primary. Joe Biden was able to get Clyburn to bring him the black vote, and that's what propelled him. If she could have done it, she should have done it in South Carolina, but she didn't. Do you believe women really look up to Kamala Harris? And I'm not talking about conservative women listening to this program. I'm talking about leftist women. I think they despise her. So I think we have to look deeper if you want to say that she's the person that they picked. You got to think. I think she's a sacrificial lamb. I think that they actually want to get rid of her. They want her gone because Biden's not going to win. He picks another loser, somebody who's from the middle of the ticket. She's from a state that brings nothing to him. California's going to go blue regardless. So she doesn't even bring that. If she were from Ohio or Michigan or Pennsylvania, I could say, yeah, maybe she brings absolutely nothing to the party. Blacks despise her. I gave a statistic. 31% of blacks, mostly Democrats, said we will not vote for Biden because he picked her. That's a huge block. She doesn't bring the Bernie vote, she's nothing. There's nothing about her. If she's too moderate to bring the Bernie vote, what could they possibly be thinking? Except this is a way to silence her, to get rid of her. So that's my theory. Anyway, I appreciate the call. Oh, I'm sorry. If you didn't cut her off, let's hear what she had to say.
I don't think it's about thinking. I think because we've primed this country to live and thrive off of their emotions, unlike you, as you said, you think and you're logical and you're mathematical and you're science and you've got statistics and data. I have watched this country live off emotions.
Yeah, but I will say this, the elites in the Democratic Party, they play the long game. And so I think they're looking at, you know what, let's just concede this election and we'll see what happens. Anyway, guys, pleasure being with you. I'll be back again tomorrow. Kevin Jackson, The Kevin Jackson Show. Thanks, Sandy, for letting me sit in for you. And I hope you guys have a blessed day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.